There's a scripture that is well worn in my Bible. I'm sure it is in most of ours, and that is Matthew 6 and verse 33. And it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." I think sometimes, for me, I tend to stop there and focus on that part of the verse because it is so large in scope and breathtaking. But there is a second part to this verse, and it's just as important as the first part. And it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And we cannot seek first the kingdom of God without also seeking God's righteousness. But what exactly does this mean? How do we seek after God's righteousness? John Gill's exposition on the entire Bible had this to say about and His righteousness. It says, "The righteousness of God, which is revealed in the gospel and is what gives a right and title to the kingdom of heaven, this is not the righteousness of man, but of God. And there is no other than the righteousness of Christ, so-called because He is God who has wrought it. It is what God approves of, accepts, and imputes, and which only can justify in His sight, and give an abundant entrance into His kingdom and glory. Christ's righteousness is to be sought for and laid hold of on by faith, as the way and means of enjoying that happiness, without which there would be no entering into the kingdom of heaven." One of the fundamental things said here is that the righteousness that we are to be seeking is not our own, but rather it's God's. If you'll turn to Philippians 3 and verse 8 and 9. Philippians 3 verse 8 and 9 says, "Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So we see Paul's understanding was that his righteousness was from God. We also see that during Christ's time here on earth, he was always focused on pleasing God, on being obedient. You could even say he was focused on righteousness, as Psalms 119 and verse 172 points out. Says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Now, time after time, Christ said that he was not here to seek his own, but rather to do the Father's will. John 6, verse 38. John 6 and verse 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." So to have everlasting life, we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we live righteously, we bring glory and honor to God's name. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his might, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Righteousness and God's glory go hand in hand. When you have one, you bring about the other. We can see that it is God who brings about these things, and He is doing it through us, because we understand and know the Lord. Romans 2 and verse 6. Romans 2 and verse 6 says, "Who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." Now this verse shows us that there is so much in store for us when we are seeking glory and honor and good works. You know, these things should be sought after, just as Christ showed us. So how can we make sure that we are seeking after the righteousness of God? Now, writing this sermon, I couldn't help but think about my own life. I'm not a perfect human being. So how can I apply this, and how can I make sure that my actions, my thoughts, and my words are seeking the righteousness of God? How can I ensure that these things are glorifying God? Now, seeking first means to be taking action. My thought was this. What if I were to put a small camera on my head? They have these little cameras these days that are no bigger than a couple inches and they don't weigh hardly anything. What if I put one of those on my head? One that would record everything that I thought, did, and said. Now, would I wouldn't want it to be played for everybody else? Well, what if God was that video camera? You know, God knows everything about us, even those things which we may hide from ourselves. There is no hiding from God. And when we seek after our own righteousness, we are not submitting to God. We are not letting Christ live in and through us. Since we are in the book of Romans, please turn to chapter 10 and verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So seeking after God's righteousness, not ours, then needs to be a top priority in our lives. You know, we of ourselves, as I've already said, could not do this. Without God in our lives, it is impossible to please Him. But thankfully, we have help in this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it, as it was written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God has chosen us, the ones who are small, to give us godly wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are a lot of things. We turn to Romans 8 and verse 24. Kind of a continuation of this thought, Romans 8 and verse 24. But we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We wait for it. We trust in it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself, or itself rather, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called, and whom he called, those he justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God wants us to succeed, as we can see. He has given us every tool, every opportunity. He says we have been predestined, called, justified, and even glorified. So don't we owe all things to God? And when we have the opportunity to give back to God as he commands, we should do it with a willing and with a joyful heart, because of the incredible potential that has been laid out before us, as we have seen. Today is one of those days, and Deuteronomy 16 and verse 10 says this: Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. Haven't we been blessed? You shall rejoice before the Lord your God.